The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Amen. I love to hear you sing. Thank you. Kiddos, you guys can head out, make your way. Well, Happy New Year, 2020. It's got a little ring to it. I want to make a couple apologies, first of all, especially to my mom. So if anybody else was with her who showed up last Sunday and there was no one here, I do want to apologize for that. We tried to let everybody know ahead of time, but apparently some fell through the cracks. And so typically that last week of the year, because we are an interdependent team and a lot of our team is gone, we typically take that week off because it's hard to get people where they need to be. And so if you showed up and you weren't here, and we weren't here, sorry, and I'm glad you showed back up today. And but want to wish you a very, very happy new year, and I am excited about 2020 in many ways. Brandon, where'd you go? So I got a quick question. I was just thinking the whole Good Morning America stuff. Like, is your job a little bit like Santa Claus? Like, are you done now, like until November? Like, is it, I mean... Okay, all right. Well, that's a good answer. So I you weren't here 2 weeks ago, but I about lost a leg a couple weeks ago and blew out a calf. Thought I might even lose the leg. No, I'm kidding. But I had to have bed rest for a couple of days, so I had to have my leg put up. And so one of the things I thought I needed to support you, my friend. So I've never seen a Hallmark movie ever. And so I decided that I was going to watch a Hallmark movie, and the name of the movie was The Perfect Christmas Gift. Like, that was the name of it. I don't know if it's a good one or not. For most people, it wasn't good for me. Like, I did not like it at all. And then I started worrying a little bit about your job, because the acting was really bad. And then I thought, you know, maybe next year you should take me with you, and I could be the other voice. And I think it would work good. I mean, I've already been on Good Morning America once, so they shouldn't have to do much. Like, they should just say, hey, Josh wants to be on the show. And they're like, okay, we'll bring him back. And yeah, it did, actually. Yeah, it did. It did make me move very quick to turn it off. So anyway, back to 2020. So typically, this time of the year, for 2 weeks, what you'll see here is that we do a specific prayer for our campus. Right? The message over the next 2 weeks is specific. And so I've been thinking about 2020, and I was kind of looking back, reflecting of last year. If you remember last year, I am a new, Jim's not, but I'm a New Year's resolution guy. I have to have, like, I am so ADD, attention deficit at the most. If I don't have a goal, if I don't have a focus, like, I'm just going to run in circles all year long. So there has to be a plan for me. So I typically lay out about 10 New Year's resolutions, because I figure if I have 10, you know, if you bat 333, you're going in the Hall of Fame. So if I get 3 out of 10, then I'm accomplishing something. So last year, if you remember, 2019, my goal was that I was going to be a little bit more manly in 2019. That was my New Year's resolution. It was a move in the right direction. And then the other thing I told you I was going to do was I was going to start fixing stuff, like fixing stuff around the house. So in the past, I've got a Greg. I don't know if you have a Greg. I have a Greg. So in the past, it's been Greg and then even make it worse, or Sarah, that typically fixes stuff around the house. So this past year, I was getting a lot of flack. So I said, you know, I'm going to start fixing things, and I'm going to do things that men do. And so I feel like I did that some. Like, I don't know that I'm there yet, but I do feel like I did some of that. Now, the only reason I say that is because Sarah's not in here today. And so so I'm going to continue with that, and then I'm going to continue with, I think I told you I was going to try to read a book a month. I did do that. And so there's some things that I've got ahead of me. But I was thinking about the whole New Year's resolution thing over the last couple weeks. And here's what it is. Like, what you're looking for in a New Year's resolution is change, right? It's change of some kind. So it's either a change, you want to change a bad habit that you may have, or it may be a change of a habit that you want to start. But ultimately, it's about change. I was noticing that Oprah's going on tour this year. Like, I don't know if you bought your tickets, but she's going on tour, and her whole slogan for this year is I want to see 2020 in 2020. And so her whole picture is this picture of change. And I think she stole that from Donda Bishop, actually, because Donda had already said that. But in 2020, that just to see and to be more focused on what is true and whatever she was saying, she was calling it her gospel tour. So you can call it whatever you want to call it. I call it heresy. But anyway, here's the deal. Like, here's what I was thinking about. Like, if you want change for your life, or if I want change for my life, and I'm talking soul-seeking change, right? Because you can put anything in the category of what that change looks like. So if I want to lose weight, or if I want to, whatever that may be, like, what is your motivation for change, right? Like, what are you really looking for? What is your soul really seeking? Because here's the deal. Like, if you want change in your life, then the only thing that's going to give you change is to root your life in the thing that doesn't change. The only thing that's going to ultimately bring you change in your life is to root yourself in God, to root yourself in Jesus. Why? Because it's immutable. Like, that's just a fancy theological word for he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow. So my prayer for us this year is that we would be a people that experiences change, but this change that's rooted in Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to James, and we're going to be in James chapter 1, verse 17. And here's the big idea for this morning, that God gives perfect gifts because he's a good father who never changes. That's it. God gives perfect gifts because he's a good father that never changes. And this is what James chapter 1 says. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I'm going to repeat that because that's the only one where somebody said amen already when I told them we only had one verse this morning. But here it is. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now, this is important for us to understand this picture of what a perfect gift is, because we, so much of our lives, we look at this picture through the world's eyes, right? Not so 2020, through the eyes or the lens of the world. And this is what the world would say a perfect gift is. A perfect gift is ultimately anything that gives you immediate lifting or relief of pain, suffering, or difficulty. Or it's the immediate experience of pleasure without cost or consequence. That's what the world would say the perfect gift is, because you can put anything underneath that. Now, the problem with that is it's not true. Like, experience shows us that. History shows us that. Scripture definitely shows us this. And we talked about this over the last 4 weeks as we walked through Advent, but the perfect gift came in Jesus, right? The perfect gift was that Jesus would leave heaven, that he would come to our broken world, that he would live the life that we should have lived, died the death that we should have died. He's resurrected from the dead, and he has reconciled us back to God the way it was designed to be, salvation, right? That is what we would say the perfect gift is. But here's the thing. For us, so many times, that's where we think where it ends, and it doesn't end there. Because what the Bible tells us is that what God is doing in our life is that he is, and this is my prayer for us, to make us more aware of abiding in him. To make us, to see and enjoy the pleasure that comes in Christ and to be fully known in Christ. Sanctification. I'm going to read it again. That what he wants from us is to make us more aware of abiding in him. Finding pleasure in him and being fully known in him. That's the perfect gift for 2020. That's my prayer for us. And here's what's crazy. It's a crazy thought, but if this is true, which it is true, and it kind of goes back to what Jim opened up with, then anything that befalls on you this year in 2020 is God moving the needle in that direction. That's a kind of a hard thing to even think about or even to swallow. So based off the word of God, the fact that God is going to give his children perfect gifts, this is what this means, that all 366 days this year of 2020, then God is going to bless you. Now, this isn't prosperity gospel that I'm preaching, but I was looking, typically the last week of the year, I spent some time reading back through my journaling from the year before. And if you don't do that, I would encourage you to do it. Sarah gave me a book this year. It was really cool. It's a journaling book for 5 years, and it's just like small areas to journal every day so you can see that journal entry for 5 years. I thought it was a cool gift. But I was reading back, and I was reading through and just being reminded of God's faithfulness, reminding of God's goodness to us this past year. And here's what I remember, and I can look out on the crowd and see this morning, that what we celebrated last year, there was people that were in our midst that were suffering from anxiety and depression and stress that have found peace this year in Jesus. They've been relieved of it. We celebrate the fact that we have people in our midst that came to know Jesus, baptisms that we celebrated last year. We celebrate the fact that there's people in our midst that have come in a legalistic background that got tired of just checking off the boxes that are in relationship with Jesus this year. We celebrate people that were struggling, that have been enslaved with different addictions and different sins, that this year they've given it away and they have found what they needed in Jesus. That's what we celebrated. And here's the thing. We're going to do the same thing next year. We're going to do the same thing in 2020. When we come back, we're going to be able to look back and see that. I heard one pastor say this. I thought it was a great picture. He said, you know, so much of our life as Christians is the picture of a week, right? So you have your mountaintop experiences, what we would say, which would be Friday, Saturday, Sundays, right? Like those are our mountaintop. Those are the days we long for. But so much of our life is Tuesday, and it's Wednesday, and it's Thursday. Just the ordinary, right? Just the ordinary. Like you get up, you have your breakfast, you take your kids to school, you drop them off, you go to work for 9 hours, 8 hours, whatever it is, you come home, you eat, and you put them to bed, and you do the whole thing all over again. Just the ordinary. But in the midst of it, so of this year, what you're going to see is the Holy Spirit's going to break through. And he may break through in a Friday or a Saturday experience, but he also may break through in a Monday experience. And here's what's important to know, that sometimes the best gift, the perfect gift that God is going to give us is difficulty. Sometimes the perfect gift may be loss. Sometimes the perfect gift may be a suffering, and it's to invade into our human experience. And it's hard for us to see it because we're hard-pressed to look through the lens of what the world calls perfect in comparison to what God tells us is perfect. If you read back, you don't have to turn there, but James 1, verse 2 says this, Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So what does that mean? What that means this year, that some of us in here may be that we're finally freed from addiction in our life, but it also may be that we're wrestling with it. But you know what that means? God's working in that too. We're going in 2 weeks. We're jumping into the life of Joseph. Super excited about that. So if you want to read ahead, if you're one of those get ahead kind of people, then I would encourage you to start reading in Genesis. But here's part of the life of Joseph, and I'm just giving you a little taste ahead of time. What you see, and this should draw your worship this morning, that suffering and difficulty and trials are rooted in three things. Three things. One of those things may be demonic oppression. I know some of you are like, whoa, where's he going this morning? Well, read your Bible. There are demons in this world. So some of it may be in demonic oppression. Some of it may be just in your rebellion against God, right? Some of it may just be in your rebellion against God, sin. Sin has consequences. It will always have consequences. And then the third is just, listen, is just in the brokenness and the fallenness of this world. there's going to be trials. And here's the deal. Whether it's demonic oppression, whether it's your rebellion and sin against God, or whether it is just you living in a fallen, broken world, ultimately, listen to this, it serves the purpose of God. Why? Because he's sovereign and he's good. Tim Keller wrote this. I thought it was incredible. He starts off with this question. How thorough is your victory when the moves of your enemy serve your purposes? Have you ever thought about that? How thorough is your victory when the moves of your enemy serve your purposes? You want to think about the totality of victory that God has over sin and death and demonic realm, that even their activity, their attempts to dismantle, to oppress, and to break, simply when it is all said and done, serve the purpose of God for us. So God doesn't cause, but he enslaves, and he uses all suffering for what? His glory and your joy. So, when the phone rings in 2020 and all of a sudden suffering is not just something we talk about, but it's something you're in the midst of for a day, for a week, for a month, maybe even a year, here's what I would challenge you. The right play is not to rail against heaven, but the right play may be to say, hey, God, what are you doing? Help me to see what you're doing in the midst of this. I don't know if many of you have read Job, but you should, because Job is a picture of God's sovereignty in the midst of suffering. Like, so if you recall the story, Satan comes to God and says, hey, listen, I wanna mess with your boy, right? And God says, okay, all right, but there's parameters. So he goes and he comes back and says, it's not working. I think your parameters are too tight. So God says, okay, we'll open the parameters, but you still have parameters. Or if you remember, Satan comes to Jesus. He wants to go after Peter. And then what does Jesus say? What does he say? He says, okay, you know why? Because I'm going to grow him in this. I'm going to deepen him in this. I'm going to encourage his heart ultimately. So yes, I give you permission, but it has parameters. Listen, Satan might be a lion wanting to devour you, but he's on a leash. So what is God up to? What is he doing in your life? Listen, here's the thing about seeing 2020, seeing clearly, seeing truth. So many times in our lives, when everything is mountaintops, when everything is good, we have blind spots. We do. We get blind spots. We had a guy that was a pastor, associate pastor growing up. And it was always interesting when he preached. He didn't preach much, but when he did preach, he was coming all in. Like one time he dressed up like Jesus and he came in, but he would always do like different kind of illustrations. And most of the time I'd laugh, but this one actually has stuck with me through the years. But he brought in this pan of water and he took this sponge and he stuck it down in the water. And he soaked it up into the sponge. And he picked the sponge up. It took the sponge and just wrenched it out. And he said, this is what suffering is in your life. This is what trials are in your life. Because what it does to your soul, it shows you what's in it. It's God's grace. It shows you what's going on inside of you. So it gives you the opportunity to repent. It gives you the opportunity to say, okay, this is what I desperately need. But sometimes when everything's all butterflies and rainbows, you don't see it. Listen, God never yields a club against his children. Sometimes a scaffold. Sometimes he cuts. Sometimes he removes. But it's never out of wrath. And here's the deal. For some of us, this is the way we think. Like, And this is God's grace showing us this. We think if we're just good enough, like this year I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray. If I do these things, then God's going to bless me and none of this is going to come upon me. That's not true. That's not what he's trying to accomplish. I love Spurgeon and two of his greatest, I love two of his quotes, and they're two of my favorite. And he's Baptist, which makes this one even funnier. But he says, God keeps his choicest wines in the cellar of affliction. are my favorite. I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. It's powerful. Listen, the next line, if you read on past where we just a few words down, it says this: you have the every good gift, every perfect gift, and it comes from the Father of lights. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the character of God, the Father of lights. I don't know about you, but this time of year, I start all over, start reading again in the Bible, start in Genesis, right? I like to go straight through. So I'm reading in Genesis, and in Genesis 1, verses 3 through 4, it says this: and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Now, here's what's interesting here. This is his first words. God gives the light before the sun, before the stars, before the moon. Why? Because he's light. He's good. It doesn't take long to read in Scripture to see this. Like, he is the picture of goodness, and that picture of goodness is light. If you go back, go all the way back to Moses, like, how does he approach Moses? In a burning bush? Or you think about the plagues that come upon the Egyptians. What is one of the plagues? Darkness, separation from God. Or if you think about the tabernacle, the 12 lamps that are never to be put out. Why? Because God is in their presence. And we just came out of Christmas. And Matthew reminds us of this darkness, but Jesus, the light, is coming. And John does a great job, because if you look at John, you see, in him was life, and the life was light of men. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light, the light of life. We just walked out of the already but not yet. And one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible comes in Revelation 21, 22 through 25. The promise of what's to come. Because we live in a broken world, right? It don't take you long to listen to the news, to watch the TV, to know that things are not the way they're supposed to be. But this is what Revelation says. And I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its lights will all the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. The gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night. What does that mean? No sorrow, no suffering, no tears, no brokenness. No night. No need. And I know some of us are like, yeah, well, you know, I don't sleep really good in the daytime. But you won't sleep. You know who doesn't sleep? God. Like, that's what we long for. That's what we search for. Because this is what God's doing. He is reconciling us, transferring us out of the darkness into the light because of Jesus Christ. And then the ability, the capacity, because of the Holy Spirit, to dwell in his presence. We don't get saved by Jesus and then run off on our own strength. We get to abide in Christ through the Holy Spirit all of our days. What God is saying is listen, step out of that. Step out of the darkness. Boldly approach the throne of your grace with confidence. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. What Jesus is telling us is, you abide in me, I abide in you. He's saying, get in here. Open your eyes. You want to see 2020? You have to root yourself in me, because everything else is false. It's not true. So how can we be confident in that? Well, he tells you. With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He doesn't change. You know who changes? We do, right? Like, we live in a world that changes, and that's part of our problem with seeing what's going on here. Like, if you have, if you've lived in one spot long enough, what's going to happen? It's going to change. Like, I was just looking at some pictures from Christmas at our house. We've been there for 5 years, and this thing's about to fall off, but we've been there for 5 years, and just looking back to where we were 5 years ago to where we are now, like, it looks like a different place. We got houses everywhere. We got buildings everywhere. Why? Because things change. Your body, if you live in it long enough, guess what it's going to do? It's going to change. Like, you blow out calf muscles while you sleep. Like, I don't even know how that happens, but your body's going to change. But you know who doesn't change? God. God doesn't make New Year's resolutions. Like, he didn't look back over his life, you know, like, say, oh, man, I was really a bonehead 2 years ago. I'm changing. No. He's perfect. There's nothing to change. So when we look at rooting our lives into to something, what you want to root your life in is the one that is good, the Father of lights, the one that does not change. And here's the deal. Like, I have an incredible marriage. And it's wonderful. And I don't know what 2020 has in store for me, but there could be bumps. I've got great kids. They like being around us. That's gonna change at some point, but they enjoy being with us. They're healthy. But you know what? I don't know what variables are ahead of us in 2020. That can change. But you know what doesn't change? God's grace, God's sovereignty, God's love, his salvation. It doesn't change. And here's why this is hard. And we talk about this a good bit, but this is why this is difficult. Because in us, we want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We do not want to be rejected, right? Like, it's a natural thing in all of us because we're looking for that. And we look for it in so many different areas, in so many different places, and it's all around us, right? What we don't want is people to truly see who we are. We really don't want people to see our humanity, right? I was thinking as I was working through this. There's always a Graham illustration, I know, but I remember a couple years ago we were in. I believe I was in Target, so everybody's in Target, which is a mistake, and I think it was around Christmas time. And so we're in Target, and I run into some patients. I always run into patients. I run into some patients, and they've been patients of mine for a while. I'm talking to them and trying, you know, catching up on some things. Well, it was just me and Graham. And so Graham had no time for these people. Like, they were talking, so he had no time. He had another agenda on his mind. So he starts being naughty. He starts being bad, and I'm trying to be polite. I'm trying to talk. And so the first thing I do is I give him the look, like, you're embarrassing me, so stop. And you can relate, I know, because we do this all the time. Like, if you're at your house, you yank your child up and you beat him or do whatever because you don't think twice about it. But when you're out and people are looking at you, then you start sweating. Like, what do I do here? I mean, I got to be a good dad, but I don't want to look like an abusive dad. I don't know what to do. And so he's not getting the look. Like, he's not recognizing what's going on, and he's getting worse and worse. So then I go around him, still talking, and I give him the Spock death grip right on his shoulder. And I pressed in just a little bit. Like, I wasn't trying to hurt him, but I needed him to focus. Like, I needed to get his attention. And it really backfired on me because in that moment, he grabbed his neck and said, oh, you just crushed my throat. I'm dying. And then he goes, I'm serious. And then he goes and he lays out in the middle of Target, like jumping, like he was actually going into a convulsion. Now, at that point, what was I going to do, you know? But he embarrassed me. Why? Because I didn't want to be truly seen in that moment. But here's the beauty of a God that doesn't change, right? Here's the beauty of it. Like, you can boldly go. Like, he knows you. Like, there's nothing you can hide. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. And so whatever it takes, whether it's a mountaintop, whether it's a valley, No matter what the issue is, he's going to move you in the direction towards abiding in him. And here's the thing. It's not just a matter of him not changing the way he feels about you, but he does it within a... He wants to receive you with a loving heart, right? He rejoices in your presence. He wants you to be with him. He's receptive. You know who's not very receptive? Me. You, right? You can't sit there and tell me you're not. There's somebody that's going to call you this week that you're going to look at your phone and you're going to be like, nope, because that's going to be a 50-minute conversation and I don't have time for that. God doesn't do that. I do that. You know, I walk around. Like, I got something to do. Like, I know I have a list of things to do, so I'll walk around the house because I know as sure as I don't, I'm going to get stuck. I'm going to be doing something, and I'm going to get interrupted. So I'll go all to the boys. Hey, boys, y'all good? Can I do anything for you? You need water? You need a sandwich? Good gracious. Whatever that is, can I get it for you? And they're like, nope, Dad, I'm good. And then I go to Sarah because she's going to do the same thing to me. She's not in here, so I can say this. So I say, Sarah, does the trash need to be taken out? Does anything need to be done? Because I'm about to go work, and so what can I do? Oh, nope, everything's good. Everything's good. So then I'm sitting down, just starting to answer an email or just starting to study, and then all of a sudden, what is it? Dad, honey, can you, like, and then in that moment, I'm just like, ah, right? But God never does that. Like, I think we look at him and saying, we're a burden. No, he knows your heart. He knows you, and what he wants is for you to do life with him. He rejoices in your presence today the same way he did the very moment you became a son and daughter of his. The same. So his perfect gift is to draw you into his presence. His perfect gift is to usher you into salvation. His perfect gift is that his kindness is to bless you with more perfect gifts. That is my prayer for us this year, to embrace that. I'm going to have Brandon come up. But I want us just to think a minute. What does this look like for us? Because here's the deal. 2020, you're going to have some high moments. You're going to have some low moments. But you're going to have a lot of Tuesdays, a lot of Wednesdays, a lot of Thursdays, just the ordinary. What would it look like for us this year? Like, I've got big goals for this place. But my goals, I want this church, I want this for you. I want it to grow, but I want you to grow in who you are in Christ. And I'd be completely satisfied with this amount of people for the rest of my life in this place if you're growing and you're abiding in him. That's my ultimate prayer for us here. That's it. So what does that look like? What does that look like for us? Because here's what I want. I want to encourage you all the more to put yourself in situations where your affections for Jesus Christ will be stirred. That's what I want. That's what I want for me. So how do we do it? Well, you pursue him. Here we go, right? Pursuit. Pursuit. Pursuit means time in the Word. It means time in prayer. It means community. All the things that we value here, there's a reason for it. But here's what I want. I don't want it to be another checklist. Think about, go back to when you were dating your special someone or your spouse, or what did that look like? Like, you would do anything or whatever it took to cultivate a love relationship for that person. That's what this looks like. It's cultivating a relationship with Jesus Christ. No, I may not be disciplined in prayer, but let your love for him be the motivation. No, I may not be disciplined in the word, but let your motivation for the love he has for you want to draw you to the word. He's the Father of lights. He's a good father. He loves, and he is receptive to us. My prayer for us is that we would root ourselves this year in the thing that doesn't change, that will never change. Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for a new year. We thank you for health, and we thank you for some things that we take for granted. We thank you for family. I thank you for this body of people. And as Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, O sleeper, and rise. Lord, I pray that you might awaken our spirits, that you might embolden our hearts, that you may increase our capacity to worship, to love, to have true affection for you, to long to be in your presence, to be more fully surrendered, to reign and rule in our lives. That's my prayer for myself, for this church. Lord, that we would not be a box check religion. But we want to be new, made alive, that you, in the light of life. So we ask, shine your light on us, drive out darkness, establish in our hearts a zeal for you as you are revealed to us in the world that you sovereignly placed us. Let us grow in that. Thank you for loving us. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.